Mike Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is He, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life, eternal life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I welcome you, my friend, to the next few moments of fellowship as we look into the Word of God again and allow the Holy Spirit of God to instruct us and to teach us in the truth. We've been discussing why was Jesus born in a stable and laid in a manger. And we've discovered that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The New Testament unlocks many wonderful truths that are hidden in the Old Testament that were hard for Old Testament saints to understand. But now we see the reason for the things that God did through the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, as He had you and me in mind, and He was developing the truth in such a way that we might come to an understanding that Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God, the only one who can take away the sin of mankind, that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, that He clothed Himself in human flesh some 2,000 years ago, came to earth as God's Lamb to offer Himself as a sacrifice in your place and in my place. You and I could not pay for our own sin because we're sinners. And it's like our trying to get to heaven by our own works is like someone taking a dirty rag and trying to wipe a spot off of a white wall. It just smears the dirt and just makes the dirt worse. Well, that's the way our good works are, because our good works are affected and are messed up because of sin. And the best we can do is infected by sin and is colored by sin. And so none of our good works are sufficient to get us to heaven. That's why mankind needs a Savior. God is holy, the eternal Creator God, holy without any sin. And there's no way that any sinful thing can approach God in their sin. That's why there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be someone who's willing to die for the guilty. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He was the perfect sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus who knew no sin. He was a perfect sacrifice so He could die in your place and in my place. You remember there in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, God gave specific instructions to Moses concerning the lambs that were to be slain and the blood that was to be applied to protect each household from the death angel that would pass through the land. They were to take a lamb of the first year from the sheep or from the goats, and it was to be a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. It was to be penned up for 4 days to test it and to see that there was no flaw in it. And so God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in the Old Testament, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. From the time man fell into sin, it was 4,000 years before Jesus Christ came, picturing those 4 days before the Lamb was to be slain. And then Jesus came as the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. He was a perfect Lamb. And born, He was the firstborn of Mary, the firstborn child. And He walked upon the earth for 33.5 years and then gave His life to be crucified and to pay the penalty of death for your sins and for mine, shedding His life's blood. And even as the children of Israel were to take the lambs, they were to take the lamb, all of them, at the same time in the evening. They were to kill the lamb, and they were to catch the blood, and the blood was to be applied to each side of the door and across the top, and then they were to roast the lamb with fire and to eat the flesh of the lamb. And so we see that we were the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he was crucified, instituted the Lord's Supper, which was grape juice and unleavened bread. And he said, "This pictures my blood, which is shed for you, and the bread pictures my body, which is given for you as a sacrifice for sin." And as we have communion, the Lord's table, when we in a church take part of the communion service, the grape juice represents the blood of Christ. The unleavened bread that we eat represents the body of Christ, and we partake of it. This is picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do this in remembrance of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so for the nation of Israel, he instituted the Passover. This time every year when Israel has their Passover, in which they eat unleavened bread and they partake of the unleavened bread, they still do not today understand what it pictures, that it pictures the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken and offered in sacrifice for their sin. They do not yet understand that, because the times of the Gentiles is here, the times in which the gospel is being presented to we Gentiles. There are two types of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. The Jews, God's chosen people, and the Scripture tells us salvation is of the Jews, and it's through the nation of Israel the law of God was given to open our eyes and help us to see we were sinners and needed a Savior. And then it was through the nation of Israel that God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to earth, died on the old rugged cross for the sins of the world, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For he gave his life's blood to cleanse and make us pure and clean. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our life and into our spirit. God's Holy Spirit moves into our spirit. John 3:6 tells us, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," physical birth. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit," the spiritual part of an individual. For man is a triune being, you remember, with a spirit, a soul, and a body, made in the likeness and image of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so God has sent the Holy Spirit to come into the heart of every child of God who acknowledges their sin in their sinful condition and cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," and believes in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and invites the Lord Jesus to come into their life. God sends the Holy Spirit into that person's spirit to do the work of salvation, and thus to live within that person's life as God's guarantee of our salvation. So today, God's Holy Spirit lives in me, Bob Griggs. He indwells me and is God's seal of my salvation, God's protection, God's guarantee, God's indication to Satan and his demons. This is God's property because his Spirit lives within me. And greater is he that is in me, we're told in 1 John. Greater is he that is in the child of God than Satan and his demons and the forces of evil that are in the world. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, to have the blood of Christ applied to take away our sin, to make us pure and clean and holy within our spirit. And that's what Romans 6 is all about. We have died to sin. When Christ died and we accepted what he did for us, that truth became a reality within our life as an individual sinner who accepts Jesus as Savior, and God's Spirit moved into our spirit, and what had occurred with Jesus Christ becomes a reality to us. When Christ died, He died for Bob Griggs. When Christ was buried, He was buried for Bob Griggs. When Christ arose from the grave, He arose from the grave for Bob Griggs. And that's what the Scripture tells us here in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. 1,000 times no, verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Where did we die to sin? In our spirit. Our body still has indwelling sin, as we'll see in Romans 7. But in our spirit, we are dead to sin and alive unto God. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? You see, that's what baptism pictures. It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when a person accepts the Lord Jesus as Savior, the next step is to follow the Lord in water baptism. Being immersed in water and coming up out of the water pictures and helps us to understand that when Christ died, we died to sin. When He was buried, we were buried. When He arose from the grave, we arose from the grave to walk in newness of life. And that's why that physical enactment of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to understand this truth and to renew our minds in our thinking and to realize this is what has taken place within my spirit. I have died to the old life of sin. I have become alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I've been immersed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, as we're told over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe it is, or chapter 12, that we are immersed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are resurrected to walk in newness of life. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, beloved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, this truth becomes a reality, and we are able to walk victoriously through the power of God over indwelling sin. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile," speaking of the believer who's accepted Jesus as Savior. Join us again next time, beloved, and until then, goodbye, and may the Lord richly bless you, is our prayer.